from 1 Kings 21, chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, page number is from the Pew Bibles, 385 from the Old Testament. Let's pray before we read the scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our God, now as we hear your word and fill us with your spirit, would you please soften our hearts that we may delight nothing in the world but in your presence, in your word. Would you please sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth and shape your our wills that we may desire your ways and following your steps, finding the truth of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Lord, we need your help. Be with us. We pray you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 21, this is a story. It's a story. Verses 1 through 16. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read almost half of it. 21. Now, Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And after his Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for vegetable garden, because it is near my house, and I'll give you a better vineyard for it. Or, if it seems good to you, I'll give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." And Ahab went into his house vexed with and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, "Why is your spirit so vexed that you eat no food?" And he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote her letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who lived with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, 'Proclaim a fast.' And set Naboth at the head of the people, and set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king,' and take him out and stone him to death. And the men of his city, the elders and the leaders who lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people, and the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, 'Naboth cursed God and the king.' So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent Jezebel, saying, 'Naboth has been stoned. He is dead.' As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, 'Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is now not alive, but dead.' And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it." This is the word of God. One day, the king Ahab was looking at his vineyards neighbor's vineyard from his palace. As we just read, it was looked good, looking good. It was Naboth's vineyard. Looked good to his eyes, and he wanted to have it. So he asked the neighbor to sell the vineyard. He tried to pay its value in money. The king offered the neighbor a better vineyard, or better money. Now, in terms of money and business, King Ahab's offer was a good deal. Now, Naboth could make a lot of money, or he could have a better vineyard somewhere in his town. However, his answer was no. Now, because of his vineyard was the inheritance of his fathers, which means God gave to his family, he could not sell it to others. That's God's blessing. As the king of Israel, Ahab must have known and understood all the laws and teachings. God gave the land to the Naboth's family, not to King Ahab. So King Ahab could not have the land, Naboth's vineyard. Now the problem is that Ahab could not give it up. He really wanted to have it. Really wanted. So he couldn't go to sleep every night. Now our text describes that he didn't eat food at all. That's interesting. He just lay down on his bed and turned away his face like a child. He was really angry because he couldn't have what he wanted. Then his wife Jezebel asked him what had happened. Now he told her about what happened, Naboth's vineyard. Now when she heard what had happened to the king, the story gets worse and more complicated. It becomes a sad and a horrible story. She sets up a plan to kill Naboth in order to have his vineyard for her husband, in order to steal someone else's property illegally, just for her husband, King Ahab. Naboth was falsely accused and he was stoned to death. An interesting part is our text 15. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, now she said to her husband, "Hey, rise, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is now dead. Just go and take it." Now the king, his response was interesting. As soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he arose and to go down to the vineyard. I really don't understand his action. And Naboth's vineyard, and he took it. Today we will be looking at the eighth commandment together. Now we begin with what's wrong with these people, Ahab and Jezebel, leaders of Israel. Didn't they know the eighth commandment, the ten commandments? I'm sure they did. Then what was wrong with these people? Now compared to other commandments, such as, "You shall not murder." Now they did it. They killed a person. Or, "You shall not commit adultery." Now compared to, you know, all these other commandments, it seems that the eighth commandment is really light. A light law. Everyone knows that stealing is a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And many people around us don't care about this law. That's a problem. Now people steal things and properties and because they want one simple law. I want that. I want things and properties like King Ahab and his wife. We teach our children not to steal something from someone else or anything. And then our society takes this law seriously. But we know that we cannot deny that stealing is one of the most common sins that we see everywhere, and sometimes we commit. It's everywhere. Now everyone thinks that stealing is a bad bad, but everyone knows that it's everywhere, even in deep inside of our Christian lives. Now, people think that the Eighth Commandment is only prohibiting an actual act, an act of stealing, like stealing a thing or property from someone else's. Now, but we have to realize that the Eighth Commandment talks about more than that, more than just not steal, to not steal something. I'll give you some examples. If we are wasting our time at our work, then simply speaking, we break the Eighth Commandment. Why? Because we get our salaries and money without working. We are stealing money. Even when we are destroying and wasting public properties, when we go to park and somewhere, we don't care somebody else's properties, it is also can be categorized as breaking the Eighth Commandment. So many things. And how about this? The Bible says that teaches us that stealing people's hearts is also considered as breaking the Eighth Commandment. Our hearts, we have to give to the Lord. Probably then a question arises in our minds like this. Well, then what is the Eighth Commandment all about? What does God want us to know and learn from this particular law? I believe that the Heidelberg Catechism gives us a clue and clear answer. So I'd like to invite you to grab your gray hymnals and turn to page 913 at the pew, gray hymnals at the pew. It's 913, page number 913, which is Lord's Day 42, question and answer 110 and 111. It will give us the clue that, this is about the Eighth Commandment. We will start from here. Question and answer 110. I will read the questions, and I'd like to invite you to read the answers. 110. What does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? What does God require of you in this commandment? That I will do whatever I can for my neighbor's good, I treat others. From these readings, we see the Eighth Commandment talks about lots of things. So I'm going to throw lots of things today. I think that the Heidelberg Catechism clearly explains us the meaning of the Eighth Commandment. Really clear. It is more than just not stealing things or properties. Although the Eighth Commandment is literally talking about prohibiting theft and robbery. We cannot do that. But it mainly teaches that how to keep our relationship to things. I think this is a key point. How to keep our healthy relationship as Christians to things and to properties and also to people, our neighbors. In other words, we can say that the Eighth Commandment is all about relationship. We can talk about many things related to the Eighth Commandment, such as ownership and a stewardship that we have and caring and respect. Even social justice out of this commandment, even faith. But all these categories and topics, all the things fall into just one theme, which is relationship. So the Eighth Commandment that makes us think about our relationship to the things and properties and people in general as Christians. really, it's a practical law. And our relationship to God must be healthy and strong, that we know my relationship with Christ, Jesus Christ, must be strong and healthy every day. We have to check and re-examine every day. An intimate relationship with Christ, that's our duty. That is the most important thing that we have to remember every day. And that the same is true for our relationship to the things. Things in the world and the people in the world. That's why God gave us this, the eighth commandment. And God talks about our relationship to Himself, that is first important, and the people through the first and seventh commandment. In the eighth commandment, God helps us to see and open our eyes, clearly see our relationship to the world, to the people differently than we had before. The eighth commandment will help us to make our relationship to things healthy. That is one of the reasons that we have to look at this commandment. Now, the question is, why do we have to have a healthy relationship with the things and world? I think that is really important. The answer is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. You don't have to look at it, but I'm going to read it to you. Genesis 1, the very beginning of the Bible, 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, we all know that God created everything, the world and universe, but sometimes we forget that. One simple, truth. Since God created the world, that means everything in the world and everything we have is not ours. It's given by God. And everything is God's and His. That's why King David says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all who live in it. Everything is God's. Psalm 24 and verse 1. There's nothing that we can possibly possess eternally and until we just go to heaven, we just keep it. No, not that like that. But we usually forget this simple teaching from the Bible. People want to have more and more as if they can possess everything eternally, build up everything. That causes us many problems. The verse from Genesis clearly teaches us one thing, that we rule over things in the world, including money and material blessings, because simple, everything comes from our God. God gives you and me His authority to rule over all things in the world. Now, but we know that everything goes wrong when we think everything is mine. Then money should not rule over us, but it does. We have to control. We have to rule over things. Money controls and money rule over us. The material blessing cannot be our priority. But material blessings, they do. Things and properties should not take our hearts away from God, but this is happening, even in my life and your life and every day. Things in the world, material blessings and money, take our hearts from our Lord Jesus Christ. Eventually, these things happening to us every day, these things will become idols. Things in the world, the material blessings and money become idols, then our hearts are stolen. That means we break the eighth commandment voluntarily. If we want to have more and more, we'll just let things stealing our hearts from the Lord. Not only stealing something break the eighth commandment, but we have to remember that let our hearts to be stolen is also considered to break this law. All these problems came to us every day because of our unhealthy relationship to the things in the world. Remember that everything in the world is not ours. It belongs to God. It gives us the world view. God is the true owner of everything. God is the one who blesses us with money and things in the world. There's nothing wrong with being a millionaire or billionaire. I want to be like that. As long as we know and we acknowledge and remember where our hearts fixed. We should not let things and money in the world steal our hearts and minds and even faith. Regarding the eighth commandment, the best example is found in our story today, King Ahab and Jezebel, who illegally stole Naboth's vineyard. King Ahab just wanted. He knew that he had everything, more than he needed. But he wanted more. Eventually, his heart gone. He knew that he could not take it from Naboth because it has been Naboth's ancestors' vineyard. But he didn't care because he was really self-centered, thinking about only himself. Eventually, he stole the vineyard by killing an innocent man. He was greedy. The king was greedy. He wanted to have more and more. But we see ourselves in this story. This short story tells us how it would become wrong when we don't have a healthy relationship to things and properties in the world, money in the world. The king Ahab forgot that everything was not his, but God's. We do the same mistake. I do the same mistake. Everything belongs to God. Doesn't mean that we can share everything together with our brothers and sisters. Not that mean. Although everything is God's, we have to understand that God blesses you and me and people in many different ways. Sometimes God gives you a lot of money. Lots of things. Sometimes he doesn't. If God blesses his people with a lot of money, allows them to have lots of things, we should not feel bad about it. If God wants to bless you, there's no one to argue with that. That's God's portion and his will. However, we know that it brings us many problems because some people cannot accept the truth that someone has more than I have. Their blessings. So some people illegally steal things and properties from others. Sometimes people take people's lives to get more, to get what they want. There is no more a sense of trust in our society. And because of that, our relationship with even our neighbors is complicated and destroyed. Relationship to our friends and family members is being destroyed. Think about it. In order to protect our houses, and we set up an alarm system. We buy locks for our bikes and we hire people to protect our properties. And we have to protect our properties, otherwise someone might take them away from us. It happened to me many times. Yeah, it feels so bad. But that's the reality. It's our reality. We cannot easily trust people around us. In 1997, something happened to my family. We lived in Detroit, downtown area. People recommended, don't go there. It's a dangerous area. But I decided to go there because cheap rent and everything's good. It was my mistake. We lost everything, but only chopsticks. It's a shocking experience. They just brought their truck and loaded everything. It's gone. From my experience, Maybe about a couple of months, I couldn't trust anybody. When I look at people next passing around my neighbor in my house, I thought, well, maybe he did it. Maybe he did it. Every night was a nightmare for us. And I had to wake up if I heard something. It seems to me everyone looked like thief at the time. Couldn't trust anymore anybody. And that experience tells me and maybe you and something. We cannot trust our neighbors another. It's a reality. We're living in that world. Our relationship to our neighbors, friends, or even family members, crooked and destroyed. Then the eighth commandment comes to us to restore, to remind us our broken relationship to one another. Think about my relationship to the things and to people. You shall not steal. This simple law encourages you and me to respect, think about other people and their property, respect their things, and respect God's power God gave them, not me. And it'll help us to trust our neighbors. And this law refreshes our minds today and our hearts to bring us to close to God, not to the things, but to close to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. By keeping this simple law, our lost trust, broken relationship could be restored. I know that it will be really hard, yet that's why we have to keep telling people, keep telling our family members and children about the Ten Commandments. We cannot be perfect, and we cannot be saved by keeping these laws. We can't. However, our society would be in better shape and it will become a holier and to live together. And if all people value the teaching of the Ten Commandments, even today at the Eighth Commandment, restoring our broken relationship to one another, and that's what God wants to see in our lives. Now, the main idea of the teaching of the Eighth Commandment is to respect others' properties. Simple, why? Because God has blessed them. As we already discussed, everything is God's. And it's God's free will to give His things, His blessings, away from to His people too. And we also have to remember that God is the one who will take things away from us if He wants to do. So therefore, for us, from this commandment, respecting others' properties, including public properties, is the way to respect God's authority over us. We have to think about that. And then the Eighth Commandment also teaches you and me about being satisfied with what we have, our blessings through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we need to appreciate what we have, currently have. One time the Apostle Paul said to the members of the church in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4, 11, 12, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what is to be in need, and I know what is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Can we confess that as our confession? Faith? Maybe it's impossible for us to imagine the world that where no one steals anything. Maybe that's impossible. But respect others' things and properties and monies, that is necessary. It doesn't mean that we don't need to talk about Eighth Commandment. I mean, because we can't make this world perfect. Even we are trying to make this commandment, we will see people are stealing things. It doesn't mean that we don't have to talk about it. No. As Christians, our duty and our call, we must prove that it wouldn't be impossible to live up to God's teaching and His calling. As Christians, we must encourage and teach people to be satisfied, as Paul said in this Bible, satisfied with what you have. Paul is, and he was satisfied, whether living in a plenty or in want, because he knew that true rejoicing and happiness came from God, not from things and material blessings. From this law, there are some things that practical thoughts we have to think about it. The first, the eighth commandment is not only forbidding stealing something from our neighbors, we all just think that way, but it also encouraging us to share. We have to extend our faith. It's not only prohibiting, you know, don't steal someone else, but it says, teaches us to share our material blessings, what we have, with our neighbors. For example, how can we blame a mom or a lady who steals a loaf of bread from the store to feed her children? We cannot blame them. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to justify the action of the mom, but I want to talk about the cause of stealing and happening around us. Sometimes people steal things and food, not for their own benefits, for their family. But that's happening around us. In that case, stealing is their last choice to support their family. We cannot accuse them. Then what if we as Christians, think about it, would help those people around us? People around us, they can be our next door neighbors. They can be one of our church members. God blesses you and me for many reasons. One of the reasons is to share God's blessings with our neighbors. That is related to the eighth commandment. The Bible clearly teaches you and me that not sharing equals stealing. Even with our offering to the Lord every Sunday. If people around us are hungry and financially struggling, what would you do? It's our opportunity and responsibility to share God's love and grace that we already have. That is what the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1 and 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow. One more verse from the New Testament, James chapter 2, verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. And 16, if one of you says to him, go, and I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And we don't have to sacrifice all our money and properties and times, you know, to help others. We don't have to do that. Because we need to take care of our own family members first. In order to share our love and grace that we already have, in order to take care for someone else's need, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Maybe the topic of sharing from the eighth commandment, taking care of other people, our neighbors, their need, will be another sermon. But my point is this. The eighth commandment is not only commanding you and me, do not steal, but it also teaches us about sharing what we have already, taking care of our brothers and sisters, our neighbors. And we see it from the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism 111 we already read. What does God require of you in this commandment? That I do whatever I can for my neighbor's good. That I treat others as I would like them to treat me. And that I work faithfully so that I may share with those in need. From this commandment, another aspect of the eighth commandment that we think about today, we have to remember that it is about stewardship. Although the word stewardship is not found in the Bible. Interesting, right? But its concept is found in many places in the Bible. Now, the basic concept of a stewardship is responsibility. Now, stewardship is all about duties and obligations as we are the stewards of God. Now, as David King David confessed, I read Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Simple. It's not ours. So we have to realize that everything comes from God, not from my wisdom, my power, or I'm better than someone else. No. Nobody is an owner in an absolute sense. I have many things. I have a computer and I have phone. Absolute sense, nothing is mine. Nobody is an owner in an absolute sense with absolute sovereignty. Only God Himself is. God makes His people poor sometimes. He makes His people rich. In that sense, it is right to say that we are simply managers, stewards of God's gifts and God's kingdom. Would you see that? During my study on the Eighth Commandment, I read a nice summary of the meaning of the stewardship, with the word stewardship. And I'm going to read it to you. One of the theologians says, his name is Dauma. Surely he's a Dutch theologian. He says, the concept of steward communicates more clearly that everything man has received from God to manage must be cared for and used not according to man's wishes, but according to God's will. We are God's stewards. As the stewards of God, It is our responsibility to find God's will around us through our blessings, through our things that we have, even our money. We have to wisely use and manage all our blessings for His kingdom. According to the teaching from the Bible, even time is God's gift. We have to use our time for God's kingdom. We know that from teachings from the Bible, the Lord Jesus will ask us, what did you do? What did you do with these people around us? What did you do with all the things you have? Sometimes I'm thinking that, oh, how can I answer that question? The Eighth Commandment helps us to re-examine our relationship to the things. Nothing is ours, but everything is the Lord's. Even our relationship to our brothers and sisters and neighbors around us. As a steward of God, I was reminded of God's command. This is God's command. You shall not steal. Through this commandment, we also have to re-examine our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. What do you have? What's in your heart? I thought about last week's sermon. It was really tough for me to preach. And today is also true. It's really difficult for me to preach because we steal things from God. God blesses us with many things, but we are still stealing God's money and God's gifts for our own benefit. As I was reading my manuscript over and over, I thought, how can I answer God's question when I see Him, when I meet Him? You shall not steal. Remember this commandment and re-examine your hearts for our Lord Jesus Christ and live up to it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another commandment from the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. But we think that it will be fine if we don't steal anything from someone else's. But we see that we are actually stealing things from you and from people. Sometimes we just let happen. Things from the world are stealing our hearts. Lord, we need to protect our faith and our hearts from the world, from the things in the world. So would you please help us to re-examine our hearts? Maybe we can read the Heidelberg Catechism and try to understand it again. But help us to live up to your teaching and give us your comfort. Maybe we can do that, but we will be, because our Lord Jesus Christ showed us the greatest example. So Lord, we need your help. Bless us and help us to think about you and help us to give in our hearts to you. Help us to remember nothing else but only Christ, Christ alone, in our relationship to the things and world and even people. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.